It's time for the best 60 minutes of your life. This is the Homer Hour, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Alongside former Packer Brian Belaga, here's Emmy Award winner Homer.
The Brian Belaga Homer Hour with, on Thursday, Jason Wilde. Love Mark Tauscher. A mediocre team last year for the Green Bay Packers. Even I wouldn't say that. I think they were, they had a mediocre season because people got hurt. But doesn't end last year. If they were that good and injuries hurt them and prevented them from doing special last year, let's find out this year, because they likely won't have the same kind of injuries. And so now we'll find out. Joining us now is the doctor, Brian Belaga. Good evening.
Good evening. How are we?
I'm fine. How about you?
I'm good.
And
I'm good.
What I said before I introduced you, you like it, you don't like it, you like some.
Of what?
Well, first of all, the Green Bay Packers. Well, no, I said last year they were not, they were not a mediocre team. They were better than that. And then they got hurt. Yeah. And they ended up having a mediocre season. And the great thing is, as was the case when you're on the team, then if you're that and things went against you, you got a chance the next year to prove how good you were. Because you're not likely to have the same level of injuries. I mean, it's possible, but if you're that good, then it'll show up when you don't have breaks go against you. I agree. Last year because they could have won their division.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost would say they should have won their division, even after the injuries. And that's the part that concerns me. Here's what I say about the Green Bay Packers. Under Matt LaFleur, it's always something. What do you mean? It's just always something. There's always something that keeps them from doing something special. And early on, you could say Aaron Rodgers wasn't as good in the playoffs. But since Rodgers left, even his last year, every year it's something. What is it this year? I don't know, but it's something. That's what you have when you have an organization or a team that's good but not great. Because, as I would say in 2010, you had problems there and all these injuries. But you had the second-best defense in the league. They gave up 15 points a game for the whole year.
Yep.
That's special. And historically, that's been special. So when you have something special, you can survive something. And doesn't mean every year, because other years you had stuff in which you could say it was just something. I mean, Seattle was something. Other years, Rodgers gets hurt. But if you're special, you'll find there can be at least one year. There is a year where you beat something.
Yeah.
Take it from there.
Yeah, you overcome that something, right? Yeah. Like you find a way to get by that something.
In 2010, it was all the injuries.
Yes, tons. Tons.
And I said part of that was you didn't have the best player, and you had injuries to me in a majority where the guys replacing were closer than you didn't have injuries like last year, I don't think. 2010.
No, like you didn't have Clay go down, you didn't have Aaron miss games.
Charles Woodson.
Yeah, Charles or Greg Jennings. Like you didn't have any of that. Like none of that.
You had running backs, but it wasn't that much of a loss.
I mean, we didn't run the ball that much.
Yeah,
we didn't run the ball very much. We threw the heck out of it. So it was kind of the way that went. But no, you're right. Like I that's why I think Kyle and I were we were running in circles before on KBN. I think that they were a good football team prior to the injuries. And then what I was trying to say to him was like the season still continues on. You still play games. It doesn't end when you're 9-3-1. Like you still have to put together the rest of the season, and that will at the unfortunate end of the day, right? Even though you have injuries, that tells the tale of the entire season, right? Like the story goes on. Like that's unfortunate, but it's the way it goes. So, like That's why I said by the end of it, when they lost to Chicago in the playoffs, not because they lost. I mean, you look kind of how they lost, but they were closer to an average football team than a Super Bowl contender by playoffs. That's just that. I'm sorry, but that's the way it was. You'd lost what, five straight going into that game, or four straight? I don't know what it was, but you'd lost more games than pretty much your season total before the injuries going into that playoff game. I mean, you were closer to an average football team. And yes, the injuries had a huge part of that. Obviously they did. I mean, there's no doubt about it. But like you said, it's a new year. Let's see if that, with these guys returning, if that good football team that we saw early on gets even better because guys get more experience. And if they can raise the bar one more time and play even better, maybe be 11-1-1 or 11-1, you know, whatever it may be, 11-2 or something by that time, by this, you know, whenever they had all the injuries strike last year, maybe they're a little bit better and the division looks a lot clearer. Like, but those are all things that we're going to have to wait and see. But that's injury dependent and performance dependent.
I also think something that's a disadvantage, that the division is way better. In 2010, one of the things you knew was, even though the Bears had done it, everybody knew the Bears weren't that good. The division now, to me, I mean, I haven't checked it closely yet, but that makes it even tougher. Detroit's not a bum anymore. And the Bears are clearly better and appear like they know what they're doing. And Minnesota might be the worst, and they got a pretty good coach. So
they were above 500 last year.
I think one of the difficult things is the division is better, and that makes it harder to win the division. You own the division. What do you think?
That Chicago team from 2010, that defense was ridiculous.
Correct.
You go up and down that defense from the roster, and you're like, oh my gosh. Like, these are Hall of Famers scattered throughout this entire defense.
Yep.
Peppers, Urlacher, Briggs, Peanut Tillman. I mean, I would assume Peanut Tillman will get in at some point down the road. Some point. It may take him a little bit, but he was that good. Then you look at their special teams. Their special team goes elite with Devin Hester and what they did there. Their offense, obviously, with Cutler. But they had a good running game with Forte, and that's what they did. They ran the ball and controlled the clock, and the defense went on the field, and they dominated. Like, that was their recipe, and they were really good at it. So if they had a dynamic offense, that team would have been very hard to beat. There's no question about it. But yeah, the division in 2010, and even in a lot of my times there and all the years that I was there, we kind of had a chokehold on that division. Teams never really elevated themselves. I mean, Minnesota would get good.
I don't know if Detroit was ever good.
They had that. They had the year with Stafford and Sue and Fairley and Kelvin Johnson that they went to the playoffs the one year lost.
By the
Dallas,
way, did you know that Ndamukong Suh just got his college degree in mechanical engineering?
Wow, good for him. That's great.
What's your degree in?
No, I don't have one.
Sorry.
I don't have one.
I know.
I'm very happy for him, though. That's great. It's going to, you know, for the probably $300 million-plus that he made throughout his career.
Yeah, he donated. He went to Nebraska. He donated like $4 million or something like that. And so when I told this to somebody, they said, I don't care how much he donates and what degree he has. He was a dirty player. And I go, well, yeah, he kind of was. I'd love to ask him that. He must have felt he could get away with it, or because he's clearly very smart. And so he knew what he was doing.
Oh yeah, he knew what he was doing.
So he just did he just play competitively that way, or what would be your answer?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think he was obviously. Let me just first by saying, hell of a football player, like just an absolute problem. Like that's
because
he
was just so big and yet so quick. Or what about him? Well, being so tough?
I mean, he was big. He was strong. Obviously. People say he was dirty. He did some dirty stuff against us, stepping on Aaron's hand, stepping on people's calves and stuff like that. Like, he did a lot of that stuff. But he played nasty. And, like, put all those things together, and you get a really good football player. And, like, that's what he was. He was a really good football player. So, like, yeah, he did some questionable things. And him and TJ Lang had a lot of fun battles. I mean, we're talking fun to play next to TJ while they
Explain
were going
Explain what TJ Lang and how he would talk about it, or as you observed it, what was his approach to someone so good? Because he was really good, too.
Yeah, TJ would play his game, but, I mean, Sue, for as physical as Sue was and how Sue played on that edge, TJ leveled his game up to that, too, and that's why it was always so intriguing to watch, because if Sue would get edgy, TJ would take it to that level, too, and he had no problem doing it. Like, TJ enjoyed
going
to
that. What do you mean by
level.
Edgy, sir?
A lot of talking, a lot of to the whistle and beyond contact, things of that nature. A lot of fun, you know, interactions between plays and things like that. So, like, it always was a treat that I got to play next to TJ when we played Detroit and Sue, because it was really fun battles, really fun. And and again, when Detroit got good for that year or two, the bar raised, right? Like, when you knew you'd go against them, you knew it was going to be an absolute dogfight. It was going to be a very chippy game, a very physical game. But those are the ones you'd look forward to. But and that's why I think this Packers team should be embracing the division getting better, because those are the games you look forward to. You look forward to playing a team twice, and it is going to be an absolute just slugfest back and forth, and you know it. You know it going in. There's no, you're playing an AFC opponent. You haven't played him in 4 years. You're not sure how this is going to go. It's a guess. I haven't played against this guy in 3 years. Has he done? Has he developed? Like, what's going on here? No, you know exactly what you're getting against Chicago now, against Minnesota now, against Detroit now. Like, you know what to expect, and your brain and your body and everything needs to be tuned in to what's about to take place. So, like, they should be excited about this, because these games mean so much now in this division, that the bottom of the division can beat the top of the division. And that's what makes it super exciting. And that's what makes it entertaining season round, because whoever's struggling at the bottom, they can upset the team in second or the first place team. And that's why I think it is one of the better divisions in football, for sure.
Yeah, that just makes it tougher to win the division and get the benefit of that in the playoffs. And that's
makes it tougher.
And it's just being lucky versus unlucky, or
I mean, listen, you stay healthy though, or relatively, because no one's healthy, right? Like, I'm just calling it
the right people stay healthy.
Yeah, exactly. The right people stay healthy enough. And yeah, you really like the way majority of this Green Bay team is built out. Like, you like a lot of it. Like, there's a lot to like. And
yep.
You may like even more of it once they start playing and see how people have developed. So, like, when people keep telling me, hey, you got to give me some positivity about the O-line, I can't do that until I see them play. Like, I can go back and review last year's tape and tell you everything that happened last year. It's a new year. It's another step for guys to develop. Zach Tom, get healthy. Belton, make a step from year one to year two. There should always be a big jump from year one.
Let me ask one question, though. Though you don't often go there, I think you're able to give a percentage on the likelihood of some improvement and how much. With Zach Tom, you never doubted him one second about where he was and how good he was going to be. You've never said that. Maybe you did about one of the centers. You've never said that about the other players. Doesn't mean they can't become good, but you, at least in my listening, have never felt that way about anybody else. The center, right? He was up there, the guy who left.
Elton,
before he moved to center. Yes, as a guard, yes. He was in that same level, right?
Correct, yeah. Well, yeah, because, like, Zach Tom just has traits that I think make for a very good tackle. Like, and those don't go away, right? Like, you watch how he's developed from his rookie year on, and the traits have gotten better and better, and he's made jumps every year. And when you see that, like, you understand the type of player that he's becoming, and you watch his pass sets, and you watch what he does with his hands, and you see the player develop year after year. Yeah, I mean, there's not. I mean, that one's obvious, right? Because, like, that's why I continue to say the year one to year two jump is the biggest. It always is the biggest. Like, to really get a good picture on what type of player this guy is going to be, because you grow so much from year one to year two. Your confidence, how comfortable you're in the system, your knowledge of the system, all those things. Your knowledge and what you're seeing in front of you from a defensive standpoint. Like, are you, like, comfortable seeing all these different looks? And the game should slow down a little bit in year two than it was in year one. Like, all those things should be happening for Belton this year from year one to year two. And if that displays itself on tape, then, yeah, that automatically improves this group dramatically. And I kind of look at Sean Ryan the same. Started 9 games at center. That's like nothing. Right? Like, that's essentially nothing. Well, how much does he grow now in an offseason where that's all he's doing is playing center, and now he gets the ball in his hand week one? What does that growth look like? And we know Banks can play good football. Is it consistent? And does he stay healthy? Those are all the things that I'm looking for when this team rolls out there week one. But obviously, Jordan Morgan and what that looks like. Like, I can't say, I think the group's going to be this or the group's going to be that until they go out there and do it and you see how these guys have improved.
You know what I'm going to tell them? My guy, Brian Bulaga, has told me this, even though he hasn't told me. I don't know how good any of them are going to be, but they won't be as good as Zach Tom. Not a chance.
I don't think they'll be a better player.
But they don't have to be. You don't have to have 5 Zach Toms. You said before, if you got 2 Zach Toms.
Yes, you're in really good. You're in really good. Yeah, I mean, that's why, and I know we got to go to a break, but that's why I always get tweets and Instagram and messages about that 2014 line, about the guys that were on it. Bakhtiari, Sitton, Lindsley, Lang, and myself. Like,
you might have had 5.
Yeah, it normally doesn't work out that way that you have all those same. Now, like, not, and we all played differently. We all had our strengths and weaknesses, but every guy was individually a good player. Then you look at those lines that Tausch was on with, like, Cliffy and Rivera and those guys. They were fantastic.
Yep.
So, like, it doesn't happen often that you get 5 guys that go, we can rely on every single guy all the time.
Or it may have been 4. We're just not going to say who wasn't in that group. All right, I've said too much, because now we go to Jason Wilde and the Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. It's time for Jason Wilde on the Homer Hour on 94.5 ESPN.
Jason Wilde on the Jason Wilde Yuengling Hotline. You don't have the name Jason Wilde, you cannot be on the Jason Wilde Yuengling Hotline. The Doctor of Football, Brian Bulaga, take it away.
Jason, good evening. How are you?
I don't know how you deal with this weirdo twice a week. I just don't. I get him 3 times a week, but I think you get more time total. He's a piece of work, isn't he?
Oh, he's a joy to be with, in my opinion. I think it's just great.
Yeah, joy to be with.
Yeah. Yeah,
that donation to Iowa football sure made a difference in Brian Bulaga.
is he still getting after you about getting your degree when he's so great, by the way?
I took a cheap shot because I don't know if you're aware of this, that Ndamukong Suh just got his degree in mechanical engineering.
Good for Ndamukong Suh. Is he going to go actually take a job doing that?
I believe so, but I'm not sure.
Really?
He's donated millions to Nebraska. Well, I thought you were going to say he's still a dirty player, which is...
Well, that goes without saying.
Yes. But go ahead. It's the two of you. I'm out.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, sure.
Sure.
Appreciate your support.
Exactly. Yeah. So, Jason, I've been asked this since KBN, and obviously I think the clip happened today about Tausch saying that Green Bay was a mediocre team last year. Was that today?
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Because they didn't play what you had to say back and forth.
They didn't play my part of it. Yeah.
No. Good. They did. So what do you say?
Yeah, it was one of those days where I wished. Look, I love him. He's great. I again will take credit until the end of time for being given the choice to do the show with anybody and picking him because he's so good at what he does. But there are times when he can be a little bit challenging, and I'm sure he would say the same about me. The idea that the Packers, who were 9-3-1, and had a 9-point lead, soon to be 16-point lead, on the number one seed in the AFC on the road, like they were in Denver, to say that they were a mediocre team, no. Their end record, which I guess is what he was sort of trying to say, their resulting record of 9-8-1, including the playoff loss, that is mediocre, right? If you're around 500, you're mediocre. Yep. There's no two ways about that. But like what I apparently could not get through to him on was that, yeah, okay, fine. The record was mediocre, but this was the team that was sitting at 9-3-1 that he thought he was on easy street with his 9.5 over ticket at the casino for the Packers win total. And we all were. No, none of us saw them, even with the injuries, even with Micah Parsons' injury, which happened in Denver. I don't think we expected them to lose 5 in a row, including the playoff game, and lose it the way they did. Like, they should have beaten the Bears in both those games, but they didn't. But my point was is that my idea of a mediocre team is one that throughout the season, they're mid all year. And you know that they're like, he was arguing about your rookie team. You guys were mediocre for most of the year. And then he got hot and won 6 in a row, 2 to make the playoffs.
Excuse me. They were never mediocre defensively. They were an elite defensive team all year, which no Packer team has been since.
But their results and their performance as a team was mediocre.
Correct.
It was. They were sitting at 8-6. But no one looks back on the 2010 team and says, God, were those guys mediocre? Just like the results matter, no doubt about it. And the Packers' results were poor after they lost all those. But, again, the eye test to me tells me that the 2025 Green Bay Packers were not a mediocre football team. So what was your response to this? Because I just gave up eventually.
Well, what I said was, yeah, I mean, you're talking about a team that was 9-3-1. They were a good football team, in my opinion. Like, they were a good football team. I go, but unfortunately, the season goes on regardless of injuries happening. A full season tells the tale of how everything ends up being. Like, that's just kind of the way it goes. Like, I mean, I get that there were bad injuries, but I never said mediocre. I refuse to say that they were mediocre. Because I don't think they were mediocre.
Yeah, I said
even.
Disappointing.
Yeah, I said they ended up being, once they made the playoffs, an average football team, and that would their record would indicate that. That's 9-8-1. That's an average football team, and like I understand, prior to all the injuries, they were a good football team, and I'm well aware of that. That's why I said it. But you can't just go based off of, 12 games. That's why the novel.
Yeah, I'm going based on feel. Like, you look, you've had seasons where you were like in 14, you knew you had a damn good football team that you were on.
Yes.
Right? You knew it. You knew it all year. I mean, you guys played scared in that opener in Seattle where you like surrendered one half of the field and sent, who was that wide receiver that
Boykin,
that
I think
guys had? Yeah, Jarrett Boykin. I mean, he lined up on that side of the field, and there was no way, like, Aaron wasn't even looking to that side of the field. They were just like, hey, we're not going to mess with Richard Sherman. We'll just play on the other two-thirds of the field. But you knew you had a good team. I'm guessing there were years where during the course of the season, you were like, maybe we can pull it together, but we got some pretty significant shortcomings. We are perhaps even a mediocre team, right? Like, mm-hmm. in 13, you lose Rodgers and you and others. I don't know what that team would have looked like, but you were coming off the, you know, getting run out of Candlestick Park by the 49ers and Colin Kaepernick. I don't know what that team would have been. I will say this. I would have loved to have seen your 17 team with Aaron Rodgers, because you guys mm-hmm. started 4-1, and then you blew out your knee too, and he broke yep. his collarbone. And so, my point that whether I communicated it effectively or not was mediocre to me is you kind of know all year long. It's not about the end result. It's about what is this team? How good is it? How not good is it? How many shortcomings does it have? Like, you and I have talked about this multiple times about the 2026 team, and we're both leery of the offensive line and leery of their depth if they lose specific players. They don't have a legit number two tight end. They don't have a legit number two running back. I don't love their starting offensive line, so I really am not confident in their backups like that. But when I look at their overall talent, that is not a mediocre roster. That is not a mediocre nope. football team. But, hey, things could go awry, and they could end up, 8-9 or 9-8 or 10-7 and not be nearly as good as we think they should be. So, for me, it was more about feel. And I never felt like during the course of the season they had some bad losses. I mean,
yep.
people forget how good they were in those first two games, because then they go to Cleveland and play like absolute garbage.
Yes.
And poor Rashid Walker never talked to us again because of his, I think we could go undefeated, offhanded remark.
Right. Correct. Before it. Correct. I forgot about that. But that definitely happened. Speaking of...
Rashid appreciates that you forgot about that.
Yeah. Speaking of the running back position, what is the news about Marshawn Lloyd coming out of OTAs? How is he doing? Is he healthy? Is he not healthy right now? What's the word on him?
Yeah, so they're in phase two, and I'll tell you this. Usually everybody's healthy in phase two, right? I mean, unless you're coming off of significant injury like Tucker Kraft, like Micah Parsons, like Zach Tom, et cetera. I don't think Devontae Wyatt is participating either. But, yeah, the hope springs eternal for the running back who has – And I don't mean this in a mean-spirited way at all, but that's all you have with him is hope. Hope and faith, right? Faith is the belief in things unseen.
Yep.
And we have seen him play in one game that counted, and he got hurt in said game. And I can't think of another player as I get ready for my 31st season. I can't think of another player who ever had this bad of luck. Like Mike Neal, who I think was in your draft class, wasn't he? Or maybe he was yep. earlier.
We've talked about
him. Yeah, his career got off to a very rocky start. Like, he had injuries his first 2 years, and he barely played. And then he had some moments. Now, there were also some, performance-enhancing allegations. I think he got a suspension for it at one point. So maybe that helped. Maybe that caused his issues. But the bottom line is he did get healthy eventually, and he did contribute. So maybe that'll happen in year three for Marshawn Lloyd. But again, I can't think of an example of in all my years of doing this. I mean, the dude was ready to come back his rookie year from all of his injuries that were like traditional NFL player injuries. And he has to have an emergency appendectomy. Like, a kid just couldn't catch a break. So I hope that this feeling about him right now continues to be the case, because, I've said this many times, and you're one of those type players. You need really good, solid football players on your team. You need guys that you can count on, and you could always count on you, right? And I think Chris Brooks is like that. Like, I think you were a more impactful player at your position than he has been at his, but, like, Again, and I say this with nothing but respect for him, because I think he's – I'm glad they re-signed him if I'm a Packers fan. He is what you need on your team. But if Josh Jacobs can't go for an entire – like if he's inactive for a game, do they really want to give Chris Brooks 27 carries? I don't think so. Right? And
yep.
You know, we all have a role, and I just – it feels to me like – They're in a position where they, you know, whether it's Lloyd or whether it's one of the undrafted guys that they signed after the draft, since they didn't draft a running back, they need somebody. Like, Chris Brooks is definitely not a change of pace. He is, you know, he's like frankly, an even slower version of Josh Jacobs, right? So if he has to play as the starter, I'm very curious to see how he fares, because I want him on my team. I'm not sure I want him starting at running back.
Thanks, Jason.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde, all Packers all the time. And the only one allowed on the Jason Wilde Yingling Hotline. Milwaukee weight loss. I started at 229 in January. Now I'm at 205, and I believe I can be 205, and I will be the rest of my life. That's how good it is. Any weight loss program, my belief is, how long can you do it? Never been successful with a weight loss program before. Wish I had known about it 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Doctor-developed, doctor-supervised program. Safely and naturally keep it off. No intense workouts, no prepackaged meals, no cutting calories, no points, no pills, no shots. It's very simple, my theory. You eat less and you're happy eating less, which means you will weigh less. I look forward to telling you next month and 3 months after that and a year from now when I will still be at 205. Milwaukee Weight Loss has helped thousands of people. Their explanation might be a little different than mine. I don't think so. 262-235-3980. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. MilwaukeeWeightLoss.com. You eat less and you're okay eating less. Don't believe me? Try it. Next.
The Homer Hour is back after this on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Tune in to the new season of Behind the Bucks podcast of the Bucks Plus Audio Network, presented by Gallagher, your trusted insurance broker and HR and benefits consultant. Bucks Against the World, narrated by comedian Charlie Behrens, reveals the untold story of the 87 McDonald's Open when the Bucks became the first NBA team to take on the best national team in the world, the Soviet Union, and whooped them. I believe the Bucks led by 48 at one point in the game. Look it up. Before the Dream Team, this long-forgotten tournament in Milwaukee globalized the game of basketball and opened the doors to international stars coming to the NBA. That's also accurate. Find Behind the Bucks on Bucks.com/plus, the Bucks app, the new ESPN Wisconsin app, and wherever you get your podcast. Behind the Bucks is presented by Gallagher. YouTube has taken over all radio shows. You go to YouTube, subscribe on YouTube whenever or wherever you're listening. Just know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, and comment along with us. Just search ESPN Milwaukee on YouTube and subscribe today. Tomorrow, I believe the Brewers have an evening game at home. So this will be your official headquarters to find out whether the dome is open or closed. All right. I don't know if you like Paul Feinbaum. I listened to him like 25 years ago when Marquette was playing in Birmingham, and it was like April, and people would call in and go, "Hey, Paul, got this seventh grader. Dude is good. Keep his name." And they would talk Alabama football every day of the year, and they'd start about future players. Seventh graders was the youngest ever. Anyway, he's all blasting the 2014 college football expansion, and I'm like, "Hey, dude, that's what they do in the NFL. Okay, this is professional football. Everybody needs to understand it's all determined by fans and ratings. Everybody realizes the regular season is now just preseason. You get warmed up, get as more teams that you can in the playoffs when it matters. One and done. Everybody loves it. Things are changing in college sports, not because the people in charge want to do it a certain way. They judge it based on fan interest. Fans, and the same thing is happening in the NBA. They just expand the playoffs because the ratings are so much bigger because People care the most when it matters. And when you're one and done, let's go. Homer says 36. No, I think 24 seems a little bit, but that's what's happening. And now, the man who played college football, I have no idea what he thinks of Paul Feinbaum. Take it away, Brian Bulaga.
Yeah, I've heard him talk a little bit, and he says some ridiculous things. And it's all SEC-based, so that's why I don't really pay much attention to him.
Yes.
He will still say that the SEC is the best conference, even though the Big Ten has pretty much taken over the playoffs since they've started. Michigan, Ohio State, Indiana. I mean, they've kind of ruled the roost here a little bit for the last, you're looking at the last playoffs. It's been very Big Ten oriented.
No, it's fair now. And granted, there are a million Big Ten teams, but it's fair now. Saban didn't say it, but down south, the SEC was where they paid players more. Now everybody's paying, and it's the fairest it's ever been.
Yep.
And yep. Now exactly. We'll see.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's.
You know what Saban said? You couldn't get those Southern players to go up north. Now you can. You pay them enough, they'll come up north.
Absolutely, they will. They will, and with a smile on their face, too.
Yes.
They'll be happy to do it. No problem. And is that official that they're expanding the football playoff for that many?
I don't know. They announced the basketball's up to 76. They voted on that. I don't think. I believe the college football coaches all said this is what they want, but I'm almost certain it hasn't been changed.
And what do they want it to go to?
They want it 24.
They want 24.
Right, and they say, well, then, that'll save jobs, but it won't really because no, you're not. So you made the playoffs. Well, so what? 24 teams are in. It's not the standard is going to change. It's like, so Iowa or every school. It's not going to mean you want to make the playoffs, and that's good, but the standard that you set is going to change because of how many teams are in. Kentucky or Alabama's not going to say, hey, as long as we're one of the final 24, we're good. No.
Nope. That's not the way that works.
No.
That's not the way that works.
So I don't.
But then the 25th team in the AP poll and the coaches poll is going to be mad because they're not in.
And I would emphasize, and I'll say this, the more teams you add, the more teams that are upset. There are far more 25th-ranked teams than there are 9th-ranked teams or 5th-ranked teams. So, but again, if you got a problem, Paul, or anybody, blame the fans. They're doing this because of the revenue created, just like in professional sports, by expanding the playoffs. And I said, to make it the same as the NFL in terms of percentage in the playoffs, you'd need 80 teams. In the football.
Yes. Correct.
And in basketball, you'd need, I don't know what it is, 200 teams.
You need every college to get in, essentially.
Yeah, you'd need half the schools to get in. Because that's what it is in the NFL or in the NBA. But, again, all the complaints, tell the fans not. And then the regular season is less important, but it's still important because how good you are will determine where you're seated in the tournament.
I did see something. I don't know if this is true about college football, that they may allow the one seed to pick their path going forward, like what side of the bracket they get to be on.
Right.
Is that true?
You know what that is? That's a Tauscher. Tauscher has suggested that for a long time in terms of the how much attention, it would create, how excited people would be. I'm leery because I'm not sure people want to do that. You give your opponent, unless they're really bad, a huge edge. But has it been talked about? Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Because, to me personally, especially college football, we know there's X amount of good teams and probably teams ranked, we'll just say it, right? 11 through 24, if there's that many teams.
Right. And it might be even less than that. You might have four teams that are good enough to win.
Yeah, exactly. So that gives the one seed a huge advantage if they go that route. That'll give them you could avoid a lot of players in that tournament if you allow them to do that, which I think the one thing people are down on college football about is these early round blowouts.
Yes.
Like you see Notre Dame play SMU or whoever that was, and they beat them 50-3. It's like, okay, like it's not really what we're looking for. Like that's not playoffs.
The hope would be that with the money that there can be more teams toward the top, but maybe not. If it's you might end up having six all spending 45 or 50 million, but
yeah,
they have
it's those mid-majors that they let in. Right. That I'm not saying those kids don't deserve a chance to play and be in if they do really well and they go undefeated and maybe they have an upset win early on in the season that, you know, that carries some weight, but like you're going to go against Ohio State in the first round or the second round, and you're going to get absolutely run out of the gym. And it's like, what? That's not really what we are looking for.
That's correct. That something that needs to be worked out to its best possibility by someone like you. Next.
More of the Homer Hour coming up next on ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Window Nation, the hot summer nights will be here soon. Don't wait until the heat hits to try and avoid the high energy bills. Upgrade your home's windows this month during Window Nation's Buy 4, Get 4 Free sale. Imagine new energy efficient windows and getting half of them free. Plus, you could even get no money down and no monthly payments or interest for 2 years. And from a company that's been all around the country, family started and so good other places that said, we're going to help the people in the Milwaukee area. They're not new. They're just new here. As a proud partner of the Milwaukee Brewers, ask how you can score a pair of Brewers tickets. Sale in soon, so visit windownation.com now and ask them about the family business nature of it all. The Brian Bulaga Homer Hour, the ESPN Milwaukee Discount Leaguer Twitter poll question. Packers 2026, Super Bowl contenders, good team or average team? Take it away, Doc.
I mean, right now we're talking in May, I think a good team.
Okay. 44% agree with you. 28% say Super Bowl contender, and 28% say average team.
Now, to say average team, you would have to think it's a average to below roster.
Yeah, they're wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know if they agree with them.
Yeah.
I put that stuff in, Brian, so that we know where the percentages are. So you know how much educating you need to do.
Yeah, because like I don't know how you look at the roster and go it's a below or average roster. Because like I understand that we have our questions at offensive line. And we've talked about it, and we're going to continue to talk about it, obviously. And like Jason mentioned, and we've talked about a bunch, we understand we have questions in depth. But if you look at the guys that roll out there, when the time clock says 15 on it every game, right? When they kick the ball off and the starting unit takes the field on both sides of the ball, you like what you see, right? Like you like the guys out there now.
I do.
And obviously we have to see how Cisse develops and how he looks and at the corner position and things like that.
Yeah, if you say they're an average team, they can't win more than 9 games. 9-8 is pretty close to average.
Correct.
And
exactly.
We certainly believe, even with injuries, they're going to win 10 games.
Yes. Yes. 100%.
But that's, you can debate, than an average season. 9-8 would be an average season. That doesn't make you an average team. But, those are the discussions and debates that go on. And
I wonder what that poll would have looked like in 2018 when McCarthy got fired and we won like 4 games. Would people have said, this is a bad team, and then we go to the NFC Championship the next year?
Yeah, they would be wrong. There have been years that you would admit, and there aren't many, but it was a bad. Now, only you can know how good the team was.
Yeah.
And the reason we don't know is, Brian, players like you are not willing to be honest about how good and not so good their teammates are. It's not that we don't understand it, but that limits and allows for us to be really stupid.
Yeah.
Because we don't know. So anytime you want to change and get all your teammates to hate you, yeah. All right, we got NBA basketball, the best basketball in the world. The only people that don't believe that don't watch it or watch the regular season. NBA playoff basketball, from the first play, they play hard, and it's a blast. I don't know that I can sell anybody. That doesn't mean it isn't true. Next.